evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, April 10, 2015. Supporters of Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir prepare for elections next week.
When I think about Bashir, I think security and I think everything nice.
And the government finally speaks out about skyrocketing food prices in Juba and other towns in South Sudan.
The cabinet has authorized this same committee to prepare for a workshop that will be attended by all the stakeholders so that we study the actual root causes of this inflation, the actual root causes of all these high prices.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. But we first go to Sudan. Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir made his final appeal to voters last evening with a major rally in the capital, Khartoum. With the opposition boycotting the vote, Mr. Bashir is the assumed winner. But that did not stop his supporters from giving a full endorsement. VOA's Gabe Joslow was there and has this report.
Khartoum National Stadium is packed with flag-waving supporters of President Omar al-Bashir for his final campaign speech ahead of elections which begin Monday. The country's opposition has boycotted the vote over complaints of a closing political space and the continued suppression of critical voices, which means an assured victory for Mr. Bashir and his National Congress Party. The supporters here are unfazed, like Rita Adan Mohammed, who told me Mr. Bashir is a leader who can protect the country.
When I think about Bashir, I think security and I think everything nice.
In his speech, Mr. Bashir trumpeted Sudan's contribution to the Saudi-led military operations against rebels in Yemen and promised to continue to push for a new Sharia-based constitution. Days ahead of the vote, Mr. Bashir, the candidate, is pressing his case hard, even if the outcome is inevitable. Gabe Joslow, VOA News, Khartoum.
Sudanese officials say they are ready for the April 13 elections. Sudan's information minister says Khartoum will not postpone the vote, despite critical statements from the European Union over Sudan's political environment. VOA fellow Michael Atit has more from Washington.
President Omar al-Bashir appears to be ready to extend his 25 years in power after presidential and parliamentary elections are held in April 13 through 15 next week. Opposition parties say they are boycotting the polls. European Union's foreign policy chief Federica Mogherini said yesterday there is no conducive environment for the vote, adding that the people of Sudan deserve better. She says Sudan failed to hold a genuine national dialogue and therefore the EU is not supporting the elections. Sudan Information Minister Ahmed Bilal says the EU must come up with another reason as to why they are refusing to take part in the election process.
Why they are interfering in everything we do? We don't care a bit if they don't monetary or if they didn't recognize. This is our constitution. We are going to the elections and we don't take our actual legitimacy from the EU.
Bilal wonders why the EU should have even a say in Sudan's internal affairs.
They are calling for postponing the elections. For how long? What the mandate the government will take and from whom to continue without elections, without popular will? And this is for us, it's illogical.
Bilal says there are 44 political parties participating in the Sudan elections, even though, in his words, only a few opposition parties are boycotting the vote. The minister insists that the security situation in the Sudan is under control and citizens, even in conflict areas, will be able to go to the polls.
Now, all therefore, there is no security problems. All Blue Nile, the elections will take place. In Lomé Mountains, there is some few constituencies, maybe three. The elections will not take place in. And this is what I call a question of stopping the elections in the rest of the country.
15 candidates are running for the president. 6 of the candidates are linked to the political parties. The others are all independents. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Washington.
South Sudan's Council of Ministers today authorized a stakeholders' workshop to determine what is causing the country's soaring market prices in hopes of coming up with a mechanism to control the rising prices. South Sudan government spokesman says the workshop will take place in 2 weeks from now. In mid-March, South Sudan's Council of Ministers established a ministerial committee to conduct research on food prices. The committee presented its finding today. Information Minister Michael Makui described the purpose of the upcoming workshop to reporters.
The cabinet has authorized this same committee to prepare for a workshop that will be attended by all the stakeholders so that we study the actual root causes of this inflation, the actual root causes of all these high prices.
Makui says it is unfortunate that prices kept rising even though the government is offering companies leasing certificates to purchase goods at official government rates of 3.16 South Sudanese pounds to a dollar. In recent weeks, the black market rate has been unstable and skyrocketing every few days. Traders in the black market say the current rate is 7.20 South Sudanese pounds to the dollar. Makui says the leasing certificate should help.
Once a company is given an LC, it means that it is buying the goods at the official rates. There is no black market rate for which they are buying the goods. Unfortunately, when these goods come here to the market, the prices shoot up and the explanation is not clear.
Makui said the government will ensure that prices are regulated so that the local people are able to afford goods and services. Officials say three employees of the UN World Food Programme have been missing for more than a week in Upper Nile State. The incident underscores the challenges aid agencies face as they try to ramp up their operations and reach South Sudan's most vulnerable citizens. Waki Simon Wudu reports for VOA from the capital, Juba.
World Food Programme spokesperson for South Sudan, Georgie Fomian, says the missing eight workers are three drivers who were transporting food items to Melot County in Upper Nile State when they disappeared on April 1st.
We lost communication with them, and we are trying to ensure that we can be able to find them, and we are hoping and praying that they are safe.
WFP says it has no idea why the eight workers disappeared. But earlier this week, Upper Nile authorities said a fierce clash broke out between forces aligned with the former militia leader, Tanti SPLA General Johnson Oloni, and civilians in Akoka County near the spot where the workers disappeared. WFP is one of the main aid agencies conducting large relief operations in the area. They provide thousands of internally displaced persons across the country with the food aid. WFP also prepositions bulk food aid in the northern part of the country ahead of heavy rains in anticipation of impassable roads. This is not the first time WFP personnel have gone missing. In October, Fomian says WFP aid worker Mark Diang was abducted at Malakal Airport in Upper Nile State by a known group of men believed to be security personnel.
And as you can imagine, it's always a concern for WFP. And when it comes to us having our staff who work in very challenging circumstances, with us not being able to get in touch with them.
Upper Nile State Minister of Information Peter Hoth says his government is aware of the disappearance of the three workers but has no knowledge about who abducted them or why.
We have no any official information about where they should be. Until now, the investigation is going on between the UN and the government state authority to contact its own local authority, where if there is anyone who knows where those people should be, those UN employees.
Hoth acknowledges the area where the three workers disappeared last week was insecure. WFP is prepositioning an estimated 100,000 metric tons of food items across the country to assist some 3 million vulnerable people across the country. Most of the food aid is being prepositioned in Unity, Upper Nile and Jonglei states, the hardest hit areas of the last 16 months of fighting. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
A member of the SPLM in opposition says the government in Juba should overhaul its institutions before any peace deal is signed. Sophia Guy Pal says South Sudanese have suffered enough and the international community should bring an end to the fighting. Guy says the rebels will only sign a peace deal that addresses the root causes of the political disagreement within SPLM. She tells VOA's James Batty that Juba is not a safe place for her or people from other ethnic groups traumatized by the fighting.
The war was targeting my tribe. I come from the Nuer. 3 days of 16, 17, 18, many of our members of my community lost their lives, including my own relatives. My neighbors that I know and many young people I know lost their lives as a result of that war, which made the country to be where it is now. I could not go back again because I'm not safe. I felt like if I go back, I will be killed. And in the process, by August, we were removed illegally from the parliament for not showing up.
So you are in the United States to mobilize South Sudanese to advocate for peace. How do you think peace can come to South Sudan?
Well, peace is what we want. I've talked to many South Sudanese communities as well as the Americans. This war is illegal and it's not a war that we, you know, we wanted an independent South Sudan to live in peace. But that war is a war that has been done there by that person because he wants to prolong his stay in power.
Are you a member of the rebel group?
I've been forced to that situation to be a member of rebel groups because I want my voice to be heard. I want peace in my country. And with that situation, if we don't get involved to bring peace, then that country will not go anywhere. So I am there to advocate and to air out the voice of women, because women were killed in thousands in Juba. And I made a promise to myself that I will do whatever I can so that their voices are heard.
So what do you think about the South Sudan Troika not being very happy? Are you not concerned that eventually there's going to be this fatigue by the international community when there is no peace eventually in South Sudan?
Well, the Troika, they have really tried their level best, and we are grateful because up to now, they are the ones who have really facilitated the IGAD so that peace can come. It's not in our sight. You know, peace is something that discusses issues. You know, you cannot just say we are signing peace without actually addressing the root causes, because, you know, a peace cannot just be done on paper without actually knowing why was it the war was there in the first place. We cannot accept peace without seeing to it that those people who have killed people are accountable for what they do. And we cannot sign peace without reforms being done in the government. We cannot sign a peace when we know security arrangement is not in place. We cannot sign peace when we know governance is not in its place.
Well, you mentioned there cannot be peace without accountability. Accountability, as some have said, will or should apply to both sides, the rebels and the government.
Well, we don't fear from outside within this opposition. Those who are labeled that they have committed crimes, of course, they have to go through an investigation. But that form has to happen, you know. But it is the government that doesn't want anything to do with accountability. And that's why IGAD has come up with the proposal for transitional government. Transitional government is just a cover-up. You know, they want government to still be there in the person of President Kiir. That does not work because, you see, if Kiir is involved in this, like we know the leak report that has, you know, shocked the world, then, you know, he has to take justice. You know, he has to take his course. So because country is bigger than the President Kiir, all South Sudanese are suffering, whether you are in the side of Kiir or you are in the side of opposition. We are all suffering.
That's Sophia Guy Pal of the SPLM in opposition and a former member of South Sudan Legislative Assembly. She was speaking with VOA's James Batty earlier yesterday here in Washington. You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, the governor of Western Bahr Ghazal orders an audit of NGO operations in his state. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
boarding school versus day school. Which is preferable and why?
I prefer boarding school because in boarding school, like, there are rules. A child is not supposed to use a mobile phone. Like, you read. But in day school, when you get home, you don't pay much attention to your books. You use phones, you watch TVs and all this.
I believe boarding schools are better than day schools.
Yeah. I've never gone to a boarding school, so I prefer a day school because of all the advantages that I had when I was a student. For example, you go to school, you have a life in school with your colleagues, then back at home, you have another life with your family.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Western Bahr al-Ghazal state officials have ordered a review of more than 150 non-governmental organizations and civil society groups in the state due to allegations of non-performance and mismanagement of funds. The move has alarmed civil society activists who have stressed the need for more dialogue and cooperation between government, civil society, and non-governmental organizations. Dimo Silva Uralio has the story for VOA from WOW.
Governor Hissik Zakaria Hassan visited several state ministries last week and instructed the Ministry of Gender, Child and Social Development to keep an eye on the work of local and international organizations operating in his state. He says some NGOs are not doing what they promised to do in Western Bahr al-Ghazal state. Speaking in Arabic, Risik says all these organizations and their mandates will be reviewed and given new certificates because some of them are run like businesses rather than non-profits. He says some of them lobby for funds and divert part of those funds for personal interests. The governor called for an immediate review to assess their achievements and presence on the ground as a way to ensure that services as outlined in an agreement with the government and other stakeholders. Government officials have claimed that some organizations and civil societies exist only on paper. Edmond Yakani, chairperson for the Juba-based civil society group Community Empowerment for Progress organization, is in WOW right now to ensure that the review process is not misused by some officials as a way to shut down a legitimate organization.
They should have productive, constructive engagement, better coordination, better collaboration, sharing of efforts, sharing of resources, sharing of expertise. That's what I would like to say. And I would like to say also is that it shouldn't be misused by other individuals in public office. Sometimes some of us are very bad people that take advantage of our leadership statements and they start taking use for their own personal gain. The reason why I say positive is that people should not use it to shut down other organizations. It should be taken positive in a manner that it open up a room for reforms.
Yakani has welcomed the call for closer scrutiny as a positive move, but says he believes that more effort should be made to understand why some organizations have not performed well, saying there should be a check on elements of corruption.
What the governor says, it carries facts. It carries facts in some sense that if you have over 300 registered and only you have over 50 or how many functional, what does that mean? But of course, also here that I'm appealing that to the state that in a such situation, we don't need to be in a confrontational manner. We don't need to be sort of like we need to shut down or we need to threaten. As much as we say public officials are corrupt, some of us also are corrupt that need to be checked.
Kleto Erneo Kunda is the executive director of the Hope Agency for Relief and Development in WOW. Kunda told South Sudan in Focus, quote, "Our operation is very clear. Even the government knows because we work with the line ministries to implement our projects." Kunda cited the achievement of the Girls Education South Sudan program as well as other projects in agriculture, which he says have been recognized throughout the country. Yesterday, the Ministry of Gender, Child and Social Development announced a 2-week extension to the original mandate to allow for a more thorough review of the non-governmental organizations and civil society registration process. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in WOW.
From WOW, we move back to Juba. The leader of an opposition party in South Sudan, Peter Mayen Majongdeet, has been released after being held for a week in an undisclosed location. Majongdeet says he was beaten repeatedly during his detention, but the office of the president has dismissed his claim. Philip Thornaleu reports from Bor.
Majangdit says he was dropped off near his home Wednesday night at the same spot where he was detained by an unidentified man 7 days earlier. Majangdit says he endured horrifying conditions during his 7 days in detention.
They closed my eyes, they tied my hands, and they took me somewhere very nasty, I don't know. And since for about 7-8 days, I have been a blind man. I don't see anywhere. They only untie my hands to have some a bit of food and water with a gun on my head. They beat me in the morning and afternoon. They say supper and lunch and then breakfast. So they beat me every day. So when I eat food, the next thing is to be beaten.
Majangdit says his captors told him he was being held at the presidential palace.
There was no president there and there was nothing. So they were only receiving orders on the phone and then they just stood to beat me.
Presidential spokesman Atanyeweka Ateny dismissed Majangdit's allegation. Ateny says President Kiir does not order any arrests or allow anyone to be detained at the presidential palace. Ateny says Majangdit claims that members of the president's security force arrest him are false. He says South Sudanese security agencies are bound by a strict mandate and always operate within the law. Ateny says that when it comes to arrests and detention, like Majangdit's, security officials do not take orders from the president. Ateny says Majangdit, who is the leader of the recently created People's Liberal Party, or PLP, should seek justice in the court for any suffering he endured while in detention. The presidential spokesman also dismissed as baseless allegations that Majangdit was detained because he made critical comments about Mr. Kiir's government. Days before he disappeared, Majangdit published a statement in the Juba Monitor newspaper challenging the government to recover $4 billion that were allegedly stolen by senior politicians. Majangdit says he had to agree to certain conditions before he was released. Among them, he says, was an order to limit his political campaigns to messages of peace and reconciliation. He says he was also told to stop speaking publicly about the 16-month-old conflict in South Sudan. And
they said I should stop talking about the funding of the $4 billion money that was stolen. They say this money is going to cost my life, and many people have tried to talk about them before, and they have given them tickets to die. So they also said why I had to oppose extension of the government terms in office.
Majangdit says he was also instructed not to discuss his detention with journalists. But he says that goes against South Sudan's constitution, which guarantees the right to free speech. Media laws that were passed last year guarantee the same. Majangdit vowed that he will not be silent.
We shall continue talking out as PLP, because if we keep quiet, then the future of South Sudan is going to be out.
Majangdit says he was told his party could be banned if he continues to criticize the government. But he is defiant and says if the PLP is banned, he will challenge the move in the courts. For VOA News, I am Philip Tonaleo in Bor.
This week marks 1 month since a Zimbabwean pro-democracy activist was abducted by suspected state security agents. As Sebastian Mwaufu reports from Harare, his lawyers are concerned by the silence of the government, while his colleagues say they fear for their lives.
National Youth Alliance Chairman Itai Dzamara disappeared March 9. Zimbabwean police say the wife of Dzamara last saw her husband when five men forced him into a car before driving off. Lizwe Jamela is with Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, an organization which sought an order to compel state agents to locate the anti-Mugabe activist. He explains how it has been since Dzamara disappeared.
From the lawyer's perspective, it's so sad to work on a case where you actually don't even speak to a client, where a client just vanishes in the air and nothing is leading to exactly where they are. Inasmuch as there are statements by authorities that are investigating, so far we haven't had any updates.
The statements the lawyer mentioned is a reference to a denial by Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa that Harare had an issue with the missing activist.
We are a democratic society, and anybody in this country who commits crime must account for the crime they commit. This is why we have the institution of Zimbabwe Republic Police to deal with those who commit crimes of this nature. It's a barbaric act which would want those responsible to be brought to book, I think.
The accusations stemmed from the fact that Zamara had been calling for President Robert Mugabe's resignation. Zamara, along with other activists, accused Mr. Mugabe of ruining once prosperous Zimbabwe and of disregarding human rights. Despite Vice President Mnangagwa's assurance, nothing has happened a full month down the line. Instead, Zamara's colleagues of National Youth Alliance say they now fear for their lives. They say a vehicle they suspect was used to abduct Zamara is following them. One of them is Ivan Takawada.
I'm no longer safe living in Zimbabwe, and Zimbabwe is my only home, and Zimbabwe is the only place where I have to enjoy my rights. So if I'm deprived of that by the state security and the ZANU-PF youth, then it actually means I'm no longer safe.
National Youth Alliance Deputy Chairman Dirk Frey says the past month has been difficult for Zamara's colleagues and friends.
It's a mixed grill. It's a mixed grill. It's been very tough for us who knew him personally. A lot of deep emotions. However, we've had to put our grief on hold in order to carry on. I guess you could say there's a certain dogged determination to grit our teeth and carry on until we find him again.
Frey is one of the several activists planning to ask the African Union and Southern African Development Community to remove President Robert Mugabe from his post with those bodies if his government does not act on the disappearance. Mr. Mugabe is the current chairman of both bodies. So far, no African government has raised concern over the missing activist. Sebastian Mofu for VOA News, Harare.
And that's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Hasada Maako by Isaka Number One. We have been listening to Isaka Number One with the song Hasada Maako. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.